Hi friends, now let us understand people and organizations. We are going to learn in this basics of organizational behavior and human resource management, how HRM functions in organizational setting occur, why people are important as organizational resources. Now, as we know, for any organization to work, we need people. Humans are social beings. Man is a social animal, as we know. Consciously or unconsciously, we are always in interaction with other people. Communication is very, very important right from birth. The child, when he is born, also communicate with the mother with gestures. When he sees the mother, he smiles. And gradually he learns how to communicate with gestures and then with smile, then with the mother's inputs, he starts talking few words and then he talks further. A person cannot remain alone without communicating outside with anybody else. So consciously or unconsciously, all the time we are in interaction with other people. We are continually planning, developing, managing, and seizing our relations with others. Right from your childhood, when you go to school also, you try to plan when you are going to reach the school. Then you are going to talk to your friends. If there is some problem occurs, you may cease. You say that now I am not going to talk to you. When you grow up in your college, in your organization, every time we have been continuously planning for certain things. We want to develop ourselves by personality development, by increasing our skills, by improvising the methods we have been using over a period of time. Then we manage our time, we manage our resources, and sometimes we feel that we need not continue our relations with this particular person or with this particular thing. We cease our relations with others. We gain knowledge and experience on understanding others and the way people behave in certain situations. What is this? Every person is a unique person. Their DNA genes are different. Their cultural aspect is different. The way they have been brought up is different. So the way they think is going to be different. So when we are interacting with people, we gradually go on acquiring knowledge and experience on understanding other people, why they are behaving like this. So once we understand that, we change our way of behaving with them accordingly. And based on certain situations in which people work also differs based on their past experiences. And hence, we try to understand why these people are behaving like this. That is a part of organizational behavior also when a person comes in the organization. For example, suppose a person has been bitten by a dog in childhood. Whenever he sees a dog, he runs away from the dog. He is not going to touch the dog at all. But those families who have got pets in their home, and right from childhood, if the child is familiar with the dog, he plays with the dog. And when he becomes an adult or an adolescent, he is not going to run away from the dog. When he sees the dog, he is going to touch the dog, he is going to fondle the dog and try to communicate with the dog. So in the same situation, when a person comes in contact with a dog, one person is behaving differently than the other. So It all depends on what are our past experiences at times. And maybe our cultural aspect also is going to differ. Accordingly, we are going to behave also. So your family background, your cultural background, your past experiences, all these things are going to affect the way we behave with a thing or with a person. So we develop on this understanding further as we go ahead and carry it with us even to our workplace. Now, as we know, people are very complex creatures. It's very difficult to understand a person. In fact, we always say nobody can understand their wife, right? It's so complex. When we say certain things, when she says it's fine, it doesn't mean it is fine, right? It's very difficult to understand why she's behaving in such a way. So not a single person thinks, feels, sees, hears, tastes, understands, and behaves in the same way. Even though you may be a twin, from the same monozygous twin, same genes, but still you behave differently. So people are very complex creatures. We all come from different ethnic, cultural, national, religious and political backgrounds, right? Somebody ethnically, say we are Indians, there are Americans, their cultures are different, their nations are different, the way they have been brought up is different, the way the environment is there, that's different. There is a lot of space available there, the population is much less, while in India, it is highly thickly populated. In slums, those who are staying also, in one room of 10 by 12, at times 12 people are staying. So the way they have been brought up also is going to vary. Their religions are different. Some are Hindus, some are Muslims, some are Christians, some are Parsis, and so on and so forth. There are political backgrounds which are going to be different. People may be attached to certain political party, or they like certain political party, right? So their ethos is going to be different. For example, RSS is highly disciplined people and they are attached to, say, BJP. So their political background for Congress and BJP, for NCP and AAP, everything is going to be different. This makes each and every one of us unique with different sets of morals, beliefs and values. Because our cultural background is different, because our family background is different, the way the morals are taught to us is going to be different. For example, there are certain villages or towns in India where everybody is a thief. So their morals is to steal is something which is okay. There's nothing wrong in that, right? The beliefs that are being developed over a period of years, right from your childhood, based on your family background, based on your surrounding, based on your friends, based on your school, and the values that you are having is also going to differ from person to person, right? So people's characteristics, values and beliefs form their attitudes. Now, what do you mean by people's characteristics? That is based on their genes. Our genes are from our parents. As we know, when a sperm and ovum unites, the embryo is formed from which an individual comes. So half the genes are from your mother, half the genes are from your father that you are going to have. Genes are your individual characteristics of your, say, the color of hair, color of eye, skin, water, so many things that are based on your genes. Now, your characteristics, maybe in Hindu we believe it's a punarjanma also, rebirth. So maybe whatever sanskars you are having in previous births also are going to affect your today's thinking and characteristics. values and beliefs. All these things is going to affect your attitudes and behavior, which is going to strongly influence their choices of employment, what employment you will take. Suppose you feel that, for example, I can give you my personal example. When I finished my MBBS, I joined Bombay Municipal Corporation for a job, when I got the first job. And already I was having diploma in public health. I have started doing that. But when I saw that in BMC, if I complete that, I'm going to be shifted to administrative side. And I know that in BMC, when you go to administrative side, it is difficult to remain aloof as far as the taking corruption and all is concerned. So that was not in my nature and it is not my cup of tea. So I have left that course at that time and remain on the clinical side, where there is no chance of any corruption and things like that. So it's your individual characteristics and your attitudes that and your behaviors will be accordingly. It is going to strongly influence the choice of employment that you are taking also, right? Although as then in 95 I did my diploma in public health just for the sake of knowledge, because at that time it was not going to differ, and at that time already I had joined Larsen & Toubro. So there was no question of such shift. So that's how one can understand the individual people's characteristics, values of life, beliefs. All these things are going to vary based on various factors in their life, and that is going to form their attitudes and behaviors, which is going to strongly influence their choice of employment in future. Now, people's genes and their environment are going to affect even their intellectual capacity. As we know, in the same school, there are say 30 students, same teacher is teaching mathematics. Two people are grasping it very easily. They are able to do all these sums very fast, while other, some of the 5 to 10 people are very slow in understanding. They usually fail. People get hardly 5 to 10 marks out of 50 in their exams. Why these different things occurs? It differs because everybody's intellectual capacity is different. And it differs because of their genes and their environment, which has affected their intellectual capacity. Now, people's intentions and their tendencies, which generate people's actions and determine their behavior. What we mean by that? Everybody has got different intention while doing certain thing, based on their values, based on their importance to a particular thing. And based on that, your actions are going to differ. And based on that, your behavior is going to differ. Right? Now, people do things their own way, for their own reasons. People are going to do various things, but they prefer to do it in their own way. If they have done it earlier in a particular way and they have succeeded, they are going to continue to do it in their own way. They are not going to use a different method, because it is their own reason why to do that. Right? People have different agendas, some of which may be kept hidden from others. Why a person behaves like this is known to him only. Right? Because he's got a particular agenda to behave in that particular way. Some people show a lot of things even though they don't know, because they have a particular agenda to impress upon the boss in such a way that the boss may give him promotion. They may take credit for others' work. Right? So normally they keep their agendas hidden, and keep it within. Organization strategies on how to manage people effectively come and go at lightning speed. Now, as we know, things are changing so fast. In fact, change is the only thing which is constant in this life. So, whatever strategies you have developed for your organization now will have to change within a short time because things are changing very fast. For example, in the COVID period recently, suppose yours is a manufacturing industry, you are an automobile industry, you have gotten a strategic objective at the beginning of the 2019 that we are going to produce so many number of cars in this particular year. In say at the end of 19, you have developed this strategy for 2020. And suddenly what happened? Because of COVID, nobody could come to the factory, nobody could work, and their production has gone down drastically. Right? So what will happen? Because of that, at lightning speed, you may have to change your strategy. And now also, because of the unavailability of the chips in the right amount required for various automobile manufacturing industries, all the cars that are well in demand are not able to give it to the customers, even though they have booked it. So your strategies are going to differ because of the problems that have occurred in acquiring the raw material that you require. This complexity and variety in the workplace often regarded as a problem because the people are so complex and everybody's way of working, there is a variety. Because of that, the managers are unable to manage these employees because everybody's thinking and way of working is different. Now, to achieve the organizational objectives, we cannot allow everybody to work in a different way. One has to follow the standard procedures, SOPs, standard operating procedures, and all. So it is true that complexity is a management challenge. However, complexity is simply about the way we are, right? As it is natural for a dog to bark, it is natural for people to be complex. We cannot help it because they are genetically different. The way they have been brought up, their educational background, their family background is different. They are going to behave differently because of their past experiences, because of their environment, because of various factors, right? The law of cause and effect states that for every action, there is a reaction. So for whatever you do, you are going to get the consequences of that as a reaction. When this is applied to people management, we can see that the input of HR practitioners affect people's actions and reactions. Because of this, the HR managers will have to train and develop the employees in such a way that in spite of their differences in the opinion, differences in the behavior, they will have to stick to the standard operating procedures required for the organization. And because of that input of HR practitioners in all the employees in a proper way, people's actions and reactions will be based on that, and hence you'll be able to achieve the organizational objectives. Because that's how the HR manager has given them the objectives based on the strategic objectives to their particular individual, that you are supposed to achieve this kind of objectives at the end of the year, for which you will be given the increment or the performance linked pay, and you will be rated. Performance appraisal is appraisal of the person's way of working throughout the year and achieving the objectives throughout the year. Now, it takes time and effort to deal with the complexities of the employees. It's not easy to deal with people having so much of complexities, right? While some people will be content with the way things are, others will be unhappy about the decisions management makes. So as you know, there's a mix of people in the organization. Some may be liking whatever are the management decisions, and they are going to follow whatever the management has told. They are going to obey, they are going to achieve the organizational objectives. While some people are not happy about it, the way the decisions are made by the management. There will be organizational complexities in the micro environment, that is within the organization, and the macro environment, that is outside the organization. The micro environment within the organization will be in the form of different people who are there, the machines, finances, budgets, etc. And the macro environment will be in the form of outside organizational like environment, in the form of the political aspect, the technological aspect, legal aspect, etc. Suppose COVID has come, the financial crisis has occurred because of that. So it is going to affect the organization, right? Internally, managers need to respond to a very diverse workforce and variety of business models for very different business units. See, many companies are diversified. They have got different business units to work, and hence the managers will have to respond to a very diverse workforce which is there. Their skill sets will be different for different kind of businesses. Their way of working will be different. They can be from all over the world also, because of the, they may be males, females. So gender diversity is there. The different cultural aspect will be there. If you are having a multinational company, or even within the Indian company, you may be having some of the foreigners working, and migrants are coming from all over. So even in India, we can say the Assamese person and the Bengali person and the Mumbaiite may be different in the way they are behaving, isn't it? So the variety of business models and different business units are going to be having to deal with these kind of people is also not easy. Eventually, one has to see to it that they are working cohesively with all the people in a teamwork, and we are achieving the results. Externally, things can be worse for managers when the complexity, variety, and diversity is even higher in customer needs. Again, suppose you are having some products or services in your organization which you are having, which you are producing. Now, suppose your customer base that is there, some customers need it in a particular way and other customers need it in a different way. Again, it will be more of a problem for you to produce the same products and services, because the requirement of different customers are different. And you have got a standard operating procedures to produce the same products or services for your employees. Right? Secondly, the logistics are going to be different. The cultural values are different. The government regulations may be different when you are a multinational company, you are having multiple offices in various places. And the investors are also, the way they are requiring for financing the organization, if their way of working is different. So it's really not easy for the organization to deal with all these things. And HR manager is supposed to play the key role in managing these things for complexity, variety, and diversity that is there. Now, organizations have to deal with interdependence. Now, let us understand what we need, what we mean by organization. An organization is a consciously coordinated social entity with a relatively identifiable boundary that functions on a relatively continuous basis to achieve a common goal or set of goals. Now, what we mean by consciously coordinated, that means management. We are consciously using certain things to achieve the goals, so we are managing it and we are coordinating all the employees in such a way that they are achieving the goals. What we mean by social entity? It means that the unit is composed of people or groups of people. As we know, people or employees are basically, man is a social animal. So ultimately, when organization is run by people, it's a kind of social entity as a group. Now, social entity means that the unit is composed of people or groups of people who interact with each other. Now, these interactions are going to be pre-mediated. That means they are balanced and harmonized. The redundancy yet ensure that critical tasks are completed. And when we say for a relatively continuous basis, that means organization's life exists beyond that of any of its members. If the employees are dying, the leader, owner of the company is dying, then also it is going to continue. So it's for a relatively longer period, that is, life of the organization remains. When we say organization, it means we are having different kinds of organizations, right? It can be manufacturing organization, it can be service firm, it can be school, hospital, churches, military units, retail stores, price, police department, the local state, central government, they are also organizations. So when we see the function of different organizations, they are going to differ from organization to organization. So when we say that organizations have to deal with interdependence, finally, organizations, one organization with the other organization, there is going to be interdependence. The school or the college is an organization, but it has to have some trust who is going to finance that. So trust may be a different organization. In fact, we are having organizations throughout our life. We are dealing with organizations right from birth to death. When a child is born in a maternity home or a hospital, it's an organization. When he goes to school, school is an organization. When he goes to college, college is an organization. University is an organization. When he goes to work in a company, it's an organization. When he dies, cemetery is an organization. So we are dealing with various kinds of organization throughout our life. And every organizational function and process is interdependent. We are dependent on other organizations as well. So the butterfly effect, when a butterfly moves its wings on one side of the world, it can create a tornado on the other side of the world. So they are interdependent in a way. The less rigid organizational borders are, the easier it gets for the organization to take advantage of globalization. Earlier days, when in India, or in other countries also, there were only local markets to be dealt with when there was no privatization and liberalization and globalization. People were having rigid boundaries in which they were operating. And hence, there was a kind of bureaucracy and a lot of red tapism, etc. also was occurring. If the organizational borders are rigid, naturally, it is difficult for us to go for exports and other global requirements. As we have seen in 1991, where Manmohan Singh has started the LPG, that is liberalization, privatization and globalization, we have come into more and more exports, and we are into the utilization of various resources from various countries. When we know that in China the labor is very cheap, in certain areas some of the machines are very good which are required. For example, for washing machine we are having the parts from Germany, for x-rays we are having parts from Germany, like that. So we are using the resources from all over the world. So less rigid the organizational borders are, the easier it gets for the organization to take advantage of globalization. The more open-minded and flexible an organization is, the easier it will be to adapt new structures, philosophies, and ways of performing that is needed to meet the demands of an international customer base. Now, as we know, because of the globalization, the world has become like a small village because of the easy transport, because of the communication channels like emails and telephones and the Skype, etc. We are able to contact each other very easily within no time. And we have become open-minded and flexible, which has led to adapt newer structures. Earlier days we were having functional organizations, matrix organization. Then came the project-based organization. Now it is virtual organization. In fact, in COVID period, most of the functions of the organizations were done by virtually. People were working from home. They were not going to their offices most of the time because it was not possible during COVID period. It was not allowed by the government, by the Disaster Act, to prevent the COVID infection to spread. So one can understand it was a lockdown, but still people were working from home, especially wherever the IT and other things are possible. So the more open-minded and flexible an organization is, the easier it will be to adapt the newer structures required by the people, by all over the world. Philosophies and ways of performing that is needed to meet the demands of an international customer base. When you have got international customer base, naturally you need to change your way of working. Naturally you'll have to different kind of organization structure. And that is possible when you have kept the mind open and flexible. Thank you.